tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Great having you guys today. Very honored to have you. And there's a lot of new faces today, and so we want to kind of let you in a little bit slowly to about what you're about to experience. We're going to do a little bit of talking, a little bit of engagement, and I don't know if you grew up in church before or if this is your first time at church, but we don't want you falling asleep during this period, okay? So we want to engage you, and one of the ways that we do that is we invite you to take some notes, we invite you to plug in, and a way that you can do that is by checking out a free app called YouVersion. And it's a way for you can follow along online. The scriptures I'm going to cover are in there. And our regular attenders do this every week. But if you're new, would you take a chance? Would you just check it out? The steps to get up there on YouVersion are up there on the screen. And you can follow along there. Well, today, it is a special day. It comes around every year. And today is special because we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And my prayer, though, okay, yeah, you can clap for that. My prayer, though, is that we would come here and we would not just be entertained. My prayer is not that we would just come and have a good experience and this would just be one more thing that we add to part of the Christmas traditions. My prayer specifically is that God would rock your world, little country girl. That's been my prayer all week long. And so I really am praying that God will do something. I know that some of you are here and maybe this is the first time you've been in church. And we don't want you to be scared of that, but our prayer is that you would hear from God. That he would let you know that he's real and he loves you and he cares about you. Some of you, you've been going to church for years, but you're just kind of in a dry spell. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're just kind of questioning, wondering. And I'm just praying that God would meet you where you're at. Some of you just need some energy and just need God to just do something in your life. And so we're just praying that God would meet us exactly where we're at. And so we're going to dive in by reading an ancient text. It's a text that gets read a lot around this time of the year. And we're going to engage with it, though, and we believe that this text is not just some old story. We don't believe that it's just some fable. We believe that there really is life in the scriptures, in the text. And because we believe that there's such power in it, we want to show it honor. Whenever you meet someone powerful, you typically will stand up when they enter the room. And so we want to show the text some honor because we believe there's power in it. And so the way we're going to do that is I'm going to invite you to all stand up to your feet, and we're going to read our text for today. So if you would just stand on up to your feet. And I'm going to invite you to read it really, really loud and energized like you've just had some eggnog. I'll let you decide what's in your eggnog, but I want you to read it like you just had some amazing eggnog. Luke 2:11 through 14 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those with whom his favor rests. Now that we've read the text, would you guys spend a second praying to God? If you don't know what to pray, I'd invite you to pray a simple prayer that I pray on a weekly basis. God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you guys spend a few seconds praying? God, we're here right now, and we need to hear from you. The amazing message of Christmas is that you're not far away, you're close. And so we're just asking that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask you'd speak in a way where we could understand it. We ask you'd speak in a way that would challenge us. And God, we just ask you to give us the courage to obey you no matter how difficult it is. And God, I just pray that you'd remove the distractions from this room. I ask you to remove the distractions from our minds and from our lives so we could focus in on you. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for how you're going to do it. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Celebrating Christmas is something that humans have done for years. It is one of the oldest traditions. And because Christmas has been around so long, there are a lot of words and a lot of phrases and a lot of songs that we sing each and every year. And because they've just been around for so long, we don't ask any questions about them. But my brain is incredibly analytical. My brain is constantly wondering, why did someone do that? What's the meaning behind it? What's the purpose of this? And I can't help but analyzing things. And so when it comes to the Christmas season and I start hearing people talk about these traditional phrases, I just start asking, like, what are these things? For example, some of you are probably most of you are very familiar with the song, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." It's a classic song. It's sung every Christmas. It's in stores. It's a song that we know. And the words, though, some of the lyrics to "Wish You a Merry Christmas," they say, "Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some, so bring some out here." Now, my analytical mind is going crazy with this song. First of all, what is a figgy pudding? Like, it doesn't say some figgy pudding, it says a figgy pudding. Now, thanks to the internet, I was able to Google and figure out what figgy pudding is. This is an image of figgy pudding. This is what figgy pudding looks like, okay? Yeah, that looks gag nasty. It looks like dog food on fire. That is... And I was reading about figgy pudding, and figgy pudding is a incredibly old tradition. It comes from England, from the 19th century, and according to the internet, the reason a lot of British people have messed up teeth is because of figgy pudding. It was on the internet, so it must be true. I didn't make this up. There's some other things, though, about Christmas that I just don't know about, some things that we sing, some words, some phrases, like maybe you've sang the song, "Here We Come A-Wassailing." What is a wassail? I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I'm going to celebrate with friends and family tonight and then tomorrow, and wassail is not going to be part of our celebration. And so thanks to the internet, I was able to Google, like, what is a wassail? Well, the song gives us a little bit of a clue. The song says, "Here we come a-wassailing among the leaves so green. Here we come a-wandering, so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you are wassail too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. And God bless you and send you a happy new year." That last two lines that we just read, that's the only part of the song that all of us are really familiar with, and it's the only part of the song that's still relevant. The rest of the song goes on to say, "We are not daily beggars that beg from door to door, but we are neighbors' children whom you have seen before. We have a little purse made of ratching leather skin." What in the world? "We want a little sixpence to line it well within. God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children that round the table go." That last line doesn't even rhyme. I don't know what's going on with this song. But according to the internet, a wassail bowl was a hearty combination of hot ale or beer, apples, spices, and mead, and it was just alcoholic enough to warm tingling toes and fingers of the singers. And specifically, in the day and age where this song came about, the children of the neighborhoods who were poor, who didn't have as much, knew that people with money had a little bit extra to give at Christmas time. So they would go door to door wassailing, and this would be children asking for money, and while they were asking for money, they would get a little wassail. Well, wassail contains alcohol. What in the world? I don't know about you, but when kids come to my door, I'm not like, "Here's some alcohol." Like, you would get arrested for that. The Yule log. What is a Yule log? Can you eat it? Like, I don't know. Yule log, like, is this something that you guys have? Like, I know Yule log because Run DMC has it in their lyrics in Christmas in Hollis. That's how I know what a Yule log, that's my only reference to it. But the Yule log was from many, many, many moons ago where they needed fireplaces in their house to stay warm. And the Yule log was an extra long log that they would bring into the house so that it would burn all night long. And we haven't needed a Yule log since 1887. When Fransan Galli in Russia invented central heating. That's the last time we needed a Yule log. And I'm very thankful that someone from Russia invented heating. It doesn't surprise me, by the way, because Russia is cold as a mother. I've been there. It is freezing. Americans did not invent central heating. We invented the AC. Praise God. But this is just like how my brain works. Another song that we sing a lot around this time of year is the 12 Days of Christmas. And we sing about these things, and it's like they're just kind of a part of the song. And there's some things about the 12 Days of Christmas that I didn't know until I did a little research. First of all, I didn't know that the 12 Days of Christmas aren't the 12 days leading up to Christmas. They're the 12 days after Christmas. It starts on the 26th and goes until January 6th. in my mind, I thought the 12 days of Christmas was like on the cable channel Freeform, used to be Family Channel, where they have the 24 days of Christmas and they play Christmas movies leading up to it. That's what I thought the 12 days of Christmas was, but it's not. It is after Christmas. And you get these gifts and they unveil them on the first day of Christmas and they go through them. And I don't know about you, but they sound like terrible gifts to get. Like, what am I going to do with 10 lords a-leaping? I don't know what to do with that. These gifts are awful. And someone on the internet discovered that if you were to receive all of the gifts in the 12 days of Christmas, it would be estimated worth of $24,263.18. Now, I don't know about you, but I would just have you save all of those gifts and just give me $24,000. I don't need any of that stuff. A few days ago, though, I was in my car listening to Christmas music, and a song came on with the word Noel. And we started off this service, if you were here at the beginning, with a video of them singing this traditional song. And later in our service, during the sing-along, we sang these words. And most of us are very familiar with the song, but on this day in my car driving on the road, I thought, what is a Noel? I'm pretty familiar with the Bible, and I don't think the word appears in the Bible, so I didn't know what Noel is. And so, thankfully, I went to Google, and Google tells me that Noel is actually a French word, and the French word is Joyeux Noël. And the word simply means Merry Christmas. But there's a little bit more to the word, that in the Middle Ages, whenever they would name a song, they would pull the name of the song from the very first word in the song or the first phrase. And so Noel was the first word in a song, and so it became known as anything pertaining to the birth of Christ in a song was a Noel. And so Noel was something that people sang that was declaring the first Christmas. In the 1928 Webster's Dictionary, Noel is defined as a shout of joy or Christmas song. Now, I think it's interesting that the first Noel is a shout of joy, because if you're familiar with the Christmas story, there's not a lot of joy surrounding the elements and the people and the story that takes part that we celebrate every Christmas. There is some excitement and there is some joy, but there's also a lot of things that would, if it happened to us, we would say, come on, this is not very fair, this isn't very exciting, this isn't good, I didn't sign up for this. We read a part of the Christmas story, but I want to read a few verses before that and break it down to get us a little bit more context. In Luke 2, 8 through 9, it says, and there were incredibly good-looking and smart and talented and popular shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were, what's that last word?
Terrified.
A lot of people question whether or not the Bible is true or not, or if it's just a bunch of folk stories. And one of the things that I find fascinating is that if this wasn't real, if this didn't happen to real people, they would have presented the characters a little bit better than the way the Bible presents the characters. Because think about it just for a second. Shepherds were not scaredy cats. Like, shepherds were not people who scared easily. Shepherds were out in fields, they had sheep, who sheep cannot protect themselves. So the role of the shepherd was to protect these helpless sheep from animals that would come, or even men who would come to try to steal the sheep. And so shepherds were pretty bad dudes. They were like ninjas of the Bible. They were brave guys. And yet, what does the text say? The text says that they saw an angel and they became terrified. Think about it. Think about the most manly man you know becoming terrified. What would it take to scare someone who doesn't scare that easily? Well, we need to understand a little bit of the history around this story, because this is the breaking of what is known as the 400 years of silence. In our Bible, we have two sections. We have the Old Testament, and then we have the New Testament. And the Old Testament is the story of God's people before Jesus. The New Testament starts with the birth of Jesus, and it goes through his life and then the early church. And so they're separated, the old and then the new. What a lot of us don't know that is that in between these two sections is what's called the 400 years of silence. And if you were to just read through the Bible, you wouldn't know that there was 400 years of silence. You could go from the last book of the Old Testament and you could jump right into the New Testament. But history tells us there were 400 years where God did not speak. There were 400 years of silence where people hadn't seen a miracle. People hadn't seen God do anything. In fact, there were 400 years where a lot of people were starting to question all those stories that we grew up hearing about. Were they really real? Because we haven't seen miracles in a really long time. So when the shepherds are out in these fields and an angel appears to them, this isn't commonplace. It's been 400 years. Their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents had not seen a miracle before. Does that not sound like our day and age? Have you ever wondered how come there's so many amazing miracles in the Bible, but then today we don't see these amazing things that we read about then? Well, the shepherds were just like you. They hadn't seen, they'd only heard stories about these miracles of God, and so they're just minding their own business, and this angel comes out, and they become terrified. They're scared. They haven't seen anything like this, and for the first time in their life, these old stories, these old texts that they grew up learning about have become real. I had a chance to visit Israel this year, and I went to the field that is known as the traditional spot to where the angels appeared to the shepherds, and it made this come real to me. This isn't just some fake thing that happened. It's not some story that someone made up. These were real men living out, and I have a picture of the field. This is known to be the field where the shepherds were, and we visited. The picture at the bottom of your right is a living quarters. It's almost like a cave built out of stone, and they had beds in there, and this is most likely where the shepherds that were there that day were living out in the fields watching their sheep. This isn't some fake story. This isn't some kid's story that was made up by Dr. Seuss. This is a story that happened to real people in real time, and they were terrified. Well, the angel notices how scared they are, and the angel replies in Luke 2, 10 through 12, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" So the angel notices how scared the shepherds were, and he says, don't be afraid. Because if you're afraid, you're going to miss what's about to happen. Can I just say that a lot of us live in fear? A lot of us live in fears that we don't even think about. Sure, we're afraid of crime, or sure, we're afraid of the economy tanking, or sure, we're afraid of war or terrorists, and there's all these things that we're afraid of. But in some of us, there's this little fear that says, you know what? If I sell out to God, if I really give my heart to God, I have to give up control, and that scares us. It scares us to not be in control. It scares us to trust our lives to a being that we cannot see. And the angel's word to those shepherds was, do not be afraid. If you're afraid, you're going to miss what God is about to do. And he goes on to them, and he tells them that this baby is going to be born. This baby is going to be born in a manger. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like good news. Like, the baby wasn't born in a hospital. The baby wasn't born in a palace. The baby was born in a stable, in a manger. And these shepherds get this news not to be afraid, and they're told, don't miss out on this. And then this text tells us in Luke 2, 13 through 14, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the first Noel is a shout of joy because God broke his silence. After 400 years of wondering if God really existed, of wondering if God still hears our cries, of wondering if God was even real, he breaks his silence to a group of incredibly good-looking shepherds. And he says, don't be afraid. He says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom his favor rests. The text doesn't say that Jesus brought peace on earth. It says, on earth, peace is brought to whom his favor rests. One of the things that we often mess up in our minds is we think that if we love God, if we do some good things, if we go to church, maybe if we give a little bit of money, then God owes us good things back. And a lot of times it messes with our minds because we live in a broken world, and so when something bad happens to us, we start to question and we start to say, does God really exist? God, if you're all-powerful, if you're good, why would you allow this to happen to me? The word Noel, it literally means a shout of joy, but far too many of us, when it comes to Christmas, we have no L. The Hebrew word for God is the word El, E-L. It is a word that means in Hebrew, mighty strength or power. And oftentimes when they reference God, they will use this word El, and some of us, this mighty power God, some of us haven't experienced that in our deepest, darkest needs. And so some of us, when it comes to singing about the first Noel, all we can say is, I have no El. because you weren't there for me. And you didn't protect me. And you didn't give me what I thought I should get. And if you're all powerful, if you're good, why can't you give me something? Why can't you help me? Why can't you speak to me? Far too many of us are living in the 400 years of silence. And when we feel pain, when we feel hurt, we just come to the conclusion there must be no L. The idea for this sermon came about months ago. And we started prepping, and we had to pick all the songs, and I had to nail down a theme. And so I started writing and thinking and brainstorming and wrote down this idea of no L and talking about L and God and what happens when we go through a difficult time at Christmas. And I had no idea what so many of our weeks would be like. And if you're part of Next Level Church, you know that this has been a week that's been incredibly difficult. In fact, it's been a week where you could say, it doesn't feel like there's any L. When I went in to talk to my kids about why I was gone for so long and why I had to go to the hospital and what was going on, and I had to tell my daughter that Mr. Ed had passed away. My 5-year-old daughter, she looks up and she says, "Why didn't God protect Mr. Ed?" It doesn't feel like there's any L. If you're God, if you're all-powerful, if you're mighty, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know why God didn't use his power. I don't know. And maybe you don't know, Mr. Ed. Maybe you have a different story. Maybe you have a different pain. Maybe there's something that happened to you years ago, and the holidays are just a reminder of how difficult life can be. And you say to yourself, every time it comes around, every Christmas, you say, "God, are you there? Are you real? Do you not hear us? Do you not see our pain?" The story of Christmas does not say that the birth of Jesus brought peace to the earth. In fact, the story of Jesus brought anything but peace, because the story of Jesus threatened people. And if you've ever read through the stories of the Gospels and read about the birth of Jesus, when it was announced that Jesus was the Messiah of the world, there was a king, and the king's name was Herod, and he became threatened by this. And Herod then goes out and sends his men out to kill babies that are 2 years or younger, because he's trying to wipe out this Messiah. He is so threatened by Jesus. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like peace on earth. The whole story, everything around the Christmas story is shattering peace. Lives look like they're falling apart because of the announcement of this birth. And the story does not tell us that Jesus brought peace to this earth, that it is going to be fixing everything. Because if you're waiting for peace on earth, you're going to be waiting a really long time. Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world where we're not always protected from bad things. We live in a world where sometimes we have to reach out and say, "God, I don't know if you're there. I'm just not experiencing your L. It just seems like there's no L." The amazing thing, though, about the Hebrew faith and the ancients who understood and wrote about what is our Old Testament is they talked about God as not something just that you could know about or learn about or something that was distant. They talked about God as a person that you could literally know. In one of the ancient scriptures, it tells us that if you want to know the name of God, you will have to know him by his actions. And so for the Hebrews, when they would talk about God, they would use this word El, and they would add it to descriptions of the actions that they saw of God. And if you ever study the actions of God or the old names of God, which is found in the Hebrew text in the Old Testament part of our Bibles, they would often use the word El, which means mighty power, or it means God, and they would add it to other words as descriptors of saying, "We've seen this with our own eyes, we've experienced it." The word El could be said of any God out there. In their day, there were lots of gods, and to distinguish their God from all the others, they would add these other descriptive words. There were Hebrew words like El Hanaman, which is the faithful God. And at some point in history, when someone talked about El, they said, "We've experienced the faithfulness of God." When we talk about God, we're not just talking about some distant God. We're talking about a God that we've experienced. And so we're going to call him the faithful God. El Emet is the God of truth. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I just feel like most people are afraid to tell us the honest truth. Sometimes we need to hear a hard truth in our lives. And God is not a God just of grace. He is a God of grace and truth. And God's not afraid to tell you what you need to hear. El Tzedek is the righteous God. It's this idea that God is righteous, He is holy, He is set apart, He has no sin, and you can know that when you get to know God, you get to know a perfect God who invites you in. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient God. Some of you, you need to experience El Shaddai. Because it doesn't say that God's going to protect you from every bad thing that's ever happened to you, but a description of God is that He is all-sufficient, that in your time of need, you can experience God. El Chanum, the gracious God. Isn't it good to receive grace? What is grace? Well, grace is getting something that you don't deserve. And in our culture, in our mindset, we think if I do something good, I deserve something good. But if someone does something bad, they deserve something bad in return. And the story of Jesus is that He gives us something that we don't deserve. None of us are good enough to receive the gift that He gave us. None of us have lived a good enough life to earn Christmas. And yet God came for sinners. He sent His Son to die for sinners. El Sali, the God of my strength. The God of my strength. In times of trouble, in times of need, you can get to know God by the characteristics. And God is strong. Another name that they often give to God is the rock. He is the rock that you can put your faith in. He is the rock that you can stand in. And when everything else is crumbling around you, you can stand on God. El Rachum, the God of compassion. But we don't have a God that is distant, that has not experienced what we've experienced. We have a God who sent His Son and experienced every heartbreak you've ever been through. We have a God who's not distant, who's not, it's not like He can't relate to us. He literally experienced it. So in your heartbreak, in your sorrow, in your times of difficulty, He's there. And He can have compassion on us because He's experienced it. Have you ever tried to have compassion on someone in an area where you haven't experienced their pain? It's really difficult. And when someone comes to you and they're crying and they're telling you about their pain, if you're not careful, you'll just say to yourself, it's not that bad. You should be able to get over this. I can't believe you're still crying about that. That's not that big of a deal. And it is very hard to be compassionate for people if you haven't experienced the pain that they've been through. And so God is a God of compassion, and He is compassionate because He's experienced your pain. El Roy, the God who sees me. If you've been experiencing a 400 years of silence in your life, if you're wondering if God is there, well, a description of God is that God sees you. Now, as I was going through this list and I was studying all these names of God, all these El names, one of the last ones was the word Emmanuel. And it kind of threw me off at first because I thought, well, this doesn't start with an L. This doesn't make any sense in this whole list of the El names. Like, why is Emmanuel there? And I had to recruit some help to try to figure this out. And Kim, is her name, was coming in my office, and she said, well, I think it's because the El comes at the end of the word. And all these others, it starts with God and then gives a description, but when it comes to Emmanuel, the El is at the end. And so Emmanuel means God is with us. And ancient texts tell us that then when this virgin would give birth to a son, they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So what do we do with that this Christmas season? What we do with that is we say that we don't have a God that is afar. We don't have a God that can't experience us. We don't have a God that we can't know. We have Emmanuel, El, a mighty, powerful God that is with us, that is here. So in your difficulty, you can still find Noel. You can still find a shout of joy. And it's not a shout of joy for what you're going through. It's a shout of joy because God is with you. And let me just tell you, if this isn't a Christmas where you have a smile on your face, can I just tell you from the bottom of my heart, as sincerely as I can, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this wasn't the perfect Christmas. I'm sorry this was a difficult year. I'm sorry this wasn't everything you dreamed it would be. I'm sorry. And I can't promise you that 2017 is going to be any better. But what I can tell you is that we have a God who is alive, who is active, who is El. He is all-powerful. He is mighty. in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering and heartache, God is with you. So at Next Level, we like to give some application, because I don't want to just give you information and then you walk away and don't do anything with it. I want to give you something to do. And so if you've been paying attention, if you've been tracking, if you've related to something, this is your next step. The application is simply this. Answer the question, do you know Jesus, or do you just know about Jesus? See, the ancient Hebrews would say that the reason that you have to know God by what He's done, by His actions, is because if you just know about God, it's not going to change your life. It's not until you experience God that you can cry out and call Him by His name. So the invitation is simply this. If you are hurting, if you're going through pain, or even if your life is incredibly awesome, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus, or do you just know about Him? Do you just know that He was a story, that He came? Do you just know that we celebrate Him, or do you experience Him? Have you been in your lowest moment and cried out and said, God, I need You? And experience a God that's not far away from us, but a God that is Emmanuel, God with us. So this Christmas, I can't give you every gift that you want. I can't remove your pain. What I can offer you is that there is a God that is with us. And I know this myself because I don't always get protected from pain. I don't always get protected from going through struggle, but I know that in my deepest, darkest moments, I've experienced the presence of God. And I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I want you to experience that same relationship, because God is not just for pastors. God is not just for good people. God is not just for white people. God's not just for black people. God's not just for Americans. God is for you. He is with you. He loves you. He cares for you. And He sent His Son so that you could experience His power this Christmas. Will you pray with me? God, we so often question where You're at, because when we go through silence, it's difficult. And right now, God, some of us are hurting, and so we just ask that You would just bring us Your peace. God, we know that we're not always going to have joy, that sometimes we have to choose joy, and so we're just asking, we are begging, God, that You would help us to find joy in a relationship with You. In the moments where we feel distant from You, in the moments where we feel just too prideful to come to You, in the moments where we feel like we're just dirty and we can't even get to You, God, would You help us to know that You are the Emmanuel, that You came to us. We don't have to come to You. And God, for those of us who've experienced a difficult year, would You just stir something in our souls? God, we don't shout for joy because of what's happened to us. We shout for joy because of what You've done. So we ask that You would hold our broken hearts. We ask that You would give us Your Son. And we ask that You would change our lives through the experience we have in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.